Good afternoon. Welcome to another JPR live session. I'm Danielle Kelly. I'm talking to you live from the Steve Nelson Performance Studio this afternoon. My guest is a singer-songwriter rocketing to the top of the charts right now. He emulates the sounds of his stomping grounds of the Gulf Coast. It's a mix of Texan, Cajun, country, blues, honky-tonk soul. It's hard to pigeonhole. He plays guitar, fronts the band. He does it all dressed to the nines, and most importantly, he calls his own shots. Graciously making time to stop with us today, talk to us today in support of his latest album, The Man from Waco. It is Charlie Crockett. Hey, Charlie, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you, Danny. The pleasure belongs to me, I'm sure.
You're here yourself and a guitar, and we're really excited to have you here. You're playing tonight at the Ashland Armory here in Ashland with your band, The Blue Drifters. Really excited to chat with you and hear some music. A lot's gone on in the last 4 years. Your life, reading up on you, it's kind of like a spaghetti western. You've got musical street adventures, international travel, jail time, open heart surgeries, a pandemic, and like I said, a lot can happen to anybody in 4 years, but especially you. And curious now with this, climbing the charts and all this success, if you've started to find some sort of rhythm and some sort of rhythm or routine to what you're doing.
Well, let's see. I was up in New York City last week. I was playing a show in Central Park with Willie Nelson, and which was a gig I never thought I'd get, and it meant a lot to me because first time I ever played in New York City, I had hitchhiked up there and I wandered into Central Park. I was staying on this old boy's couch in Spanish Harlem, and I come down the side of the park there past the Metropolitan there museum, and there were a lot of good musicians playing at the good spots, so I ended up playing kind of under the bridges and all that stuff at first, and then I slowly but surely wandered downtown, and cops ran me underground, and I started playing on subway platforms and train cars, all kinds of stuff. But I took a meeting with these these record label men, you'd call them, and they were gentlemen, they were very kind, you know, but they asked me if I'd ever been to New York City before, and that was about all I needed to hear to get out of that meeting, because, I probably played 30 shows in Manhattan the last 4 years and played on the street there for a bunch of years. I'll tell you that short story that I made a little longer than it should be, because, the way I see it in terms of a rhythm is I've been, standing behind a guitar playing out of a guitar case since, for about 20 years. So there's more politics and there's more pressure in all kinds of ways. But I've always had the same rhythm. It's always been, about the song, playing for change. That pocket change turned into, ticket sales. But, I'm the same old man.
Awesome. You've really been burning the rubber on the road. Like you mentioned, you were on the East Coast last night with Willie Nelson. You're on your way to Hardly Strictly Bluegrass in San Fran next night, and then you're off to a sold-out tour in Europe next week. We're really cheering you on with all your success over here, and really excited to hear you play today. Wondering if you can start us out with a song.
Oh, yes, I'd love to. Thank you. Let's see. I'm going to do this old song off a record that I put out sometime in the last year. This one's called Are We Lonesome Yet? I've been sitting in a champagne room on the TV. They say that we're all through and there's an ashtray full of cigarettes talking to me. Are we lonesome yet? You caught me staring at the chandelier. No, I ain't crying. Smoke it, cause these tears. This place is crowded. Folks, they seem upset. I'm just smiling. Are we lonesome yet? In here, there's a price to pay. It costs a lot more to stay. Nobody wants to share. Who told you this town was fair? Tell me, are we lonesome yet? I just can't forget the voice talking in my head. Are we lonesome?
lonesome yet.
Yeah, boy.
Somebody's talking in the mezzanine up the staircase past the ice machine. I barely hear them judging me in jest. I think I'll ask them, are we lonesome yet? Big old city, it's open hard on me, filled up with people far as you can see. Electric billboards selling what comes next. They're really asking, are we lonesome yet? In here there's a price to pay. It costs a lot more to stay. Nobody wants to share. Who told you this town was fair? Tell me, are we lonesome yet? I just can't forget the voice asking in my head, are we lonesome yet? Are we lonesome yet? Tell me, are we lonesome yet?
Woo. Well, something like that, I guess.
Charlie Crockett live here at Jefferson Public Radio. He's on tour in support of his 12th studio album, The Man from Waco. You can find information and his music at charliecrockett.com. That's EY, two T's. And he's performing with his band, The Blue Drifters, tonight in Ashland at the Ashland Armory. You can find tickets to the show tonight live at thearmory.com. Again, thank you so much for being here. The last time we got to talk to you was 4 years ago to the month. We did a session with you during the West Coast Music Festival up at the Green Springs Cabin. And at the time, you had just released the first album that we had heard from you. It was your fourth album, Lonesome as a Shadow. And since then, you have been putting out a whole bunch more work. I don't know if my number's right. I counted 8 albums. Looking at your website, you've got the Lil G's Blue Bonanza, the James Hand Collection, Music City USA, Jukebox Charlie, Welcome to Hard Times, one of my favorites. And there's been a lot of really cool music videos, and there's a cool documentary out. So I just can't help but think that you're a machine and wonder if you sleep at all. And as a songwriter and musician, and I know a lot of our listeners are, I'm just wondering if you could speak a little bit about, and you know, you said earlier, you know, you're the same old guy behind a guitar. It's just a kind of a different stage or a different scale. And I'm just wondering what your process is and how what you attribute to that, being able to just crank out songs like that.
Well, I always say that it's the business that's changed. Maybe I think that slows an artist down, in my opinion. So, and I don't think, you know, I told you I'm the same old guy, but I think in some ways anybody that's making art, you know, is not really exactly the same maybe 6 months from now. And one of the reasons that I like to record albums and release them rather quickly is because I move on myself. I'm moving on, you know. The seasons change, you know. And, you know, you wouldn't appreciate, you know, spring without the winter. And, you know, you wouldn't, you know, want summer to come, you know, if you didn't know what it was like for the fall to set in, you know. So that's kind of my answer to that is, you know, it's just back in the day, you know, if I would have signed even a little rink-a-dink, you know, blues label deal or a folk, you know, with a small folk imprint or something in the 50s or 60s or even the 70s, you know. It was pretty standard to keep a 2-record, you know, annual clip, at least. So, like I say, I think it's the business that slowed down. And so that might be, I might just be, you know, a little disruptive to that process where I feel like, you know, they slow things down, spread it out, and, you know, not all the time. I don't mean to sound that I'm being down on the business or anything, but, you know, sometimes it feels like people, you know, they're trying to juice a rock or something, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of things I'm not good at, you know, and I get myself in a lot of trouble, and I make a lot of mistakes all the time. Ask my girl, she'll tell you. I make a lot of mistakes.
but I'm honest and I'm true. And I write songs all the time, whether they're good or not. That's, you know, up to somebody else to judge.
Is that trouble sort of your muse, Charlie?
I don't know, you know. Maybe that trouble stems from, you know, maybe I feel like the idea of freedom that I was sold when I was a young kid growing up in Texas wasn't really all it, you know, was cracked up to be. And maybe the trouble has been me, you know, shedding some of that off of me, dusting my shoulders off and trying to really get free.
Your debut album, Stolen Jewel, was released in 2015, but you've been in the music scene for much longer than that. And I heard you say at one point you're a self-proclaimed late bloomer. And I'm wondering kind of what that means. And yeah, could you maybe paint us a picture of what that musical background is before putting out albums?
Well, it's kind of like this, you know, it takes me a long time to get a hold of something, you know. It really does, you know. And I always gravitated towards, you know, folk music and traditional music and blues and all those different, you know, all the little sub-genres of that. You know, it's all folk music, and I just mean in terms of the songs themselves, what they're built on. You know, they're not. I want to call them easy, you know. They're simple, like they're deceptively simple, you know, a beautiful old melody or, you know, a three chord, you know, progression, you know, to an old time country song. But the storytelling, you know, that makes the difference. And you know, and I kind of dedicated my life to that, you know, and it gives me a sense of, you know, having a good reason to be here, you know, like I'm contributing something worthwhile, you know. You know, I think everybody's looking for a purpose in life, and that I believe that I found mine. I think that's what it is. You know, but as far as being a late bloomer, I think a way I would describe it, you know, is if, you know, I always said, you know, we're all racehorses out here, especially if you're in the commercial business of recording music, you know. Whatever you call it is up to you, but, you know, we're selling something, you know. Some artists don't know what they're selling, or they pretend that they don't. And then, you know, some people like me, I decided, you know, that I knew exactly what I was, you know, willing to sell in trading a song, you know, for a ticket at a show. But so I equate it to running on a track, right? And I'm that guy that might look like he's way behind you, you know. And when I finally come up to pass him, I'm not just passing, I'm lapping. You know, they just didn't know it.
Here you are. Well, there's something about your delivery, Charlie. You're not just country, but you're country. You're blues, you're honky-tonk, you're this whole mix. And you don't have to be a honky-tonk fan to love your music. There's something enigmatic about your sound. Charlie Crockett sounds a whole lot like Charlie Crockett, and it's a really beautiful thing. So here you are now, and you're just... we're big fans here, and just keep doing what you're doing. Love to hear another song from the album, if you don't mind.
Ain't gonna stop, Danny. I can't afford to. Yeah, I'll play one for you. Let's see. This one's called July Jackson. My baby Taylor Grace helped me pen this one. Excuse me. July Jackson, she was a wife with a couple of kids. There's a story going round about what that woman did. Somebody told me that she took her husband's life. Said she did it with a smile and the twisting of a knife. July Jackson, seems it wasn't long ago that I saw the man she loved with a girl I didn't know. A short time later, that young girl, she came up dead. And it looked awful suspicious, but that's not how the paper read.
July Jackson. July Jackson. Why just this morning they brought July Jackson down, where they started with their questions in front of this entire town, where I was standing, I saw pretty July's face, and she said she wasn't sorry that she put him in his place. July Jackson, she was a wife with a couple of kids. There's a story going round about what that woman did, and I can't blame her, July Jackson. July Jackson. July Jackson.
Beautiful. That's Charlie Crockett live here on JPR. You can see him perform light in, tonight in Ashland at the historic Ashland Armory. Tickets and information live at thearmory.com. Thanks again for being here. I want to circle back around to something you just said, that it's sometimes the music business that can slow down and kind of trip up the pace of an artist. And I know that you're a self-taught musician and you have pride in taking creative control of your own music. And last time we talked to you, you touched on sort of walking away from a record deal from Sony. And since then, you have created your own record label, Son of Davy. And for those of us music lovers on the outside of the music business, I would love to hear what goes into creating a record label of your own and what that maybe means for you.
Well, let's see. Think about how that's come to pass. I did get into that record deal you're talking about, and I was discovered by some, powerful New York City music business folks when I used to panhandle and play real hard on inside subway cars underneath Manhattan and in Brooklyn. That particular day, we were running on the R train, and we would run those trains, probably about 6 to 8 hours a day. And the secret, and I'll tell you how you do it.
It's a long day.
What you want to do is you want to wait till after morning rush hour, because those trains during that, busy period, they're just so full of people that if they're too packed, you can't collect money. You can't play a song. You can't even hold your guitar up. So you want to play, from 10 a.m. to just before about 4 p.m. when the afternoon rush hour comes on. And then we would take a break, and then go back out and work it after rush hour, after 7. Play into the evening there till it kind of started dying out. And, we got real good at doing that, running from car to car and learning the time in the different stations on the different trains. You want a local train in most cases instead of an express, unless it's the J train, for example, that goes over the East River into Brooklyn, where you can move between the car doors open and you can hit like 4 or 5 of them, the time it takes to get from Essex Station in Manhattan to the first station there in Brooklyn. And you learn that whole racket, and you learn how to ask for money, and you learn how to time the song for, if you got a minute and a half to, play a little piece of a song and collect, well, that's how you do it then, and you get real good at it. And that particular morning, this big executive was riding in that subway car and eventually signed us to a deal, kind of a development deal under a major label umbrella. And that stuff's all complicated, and I won't get into how complicated it is, but it's like, it's like opening up a can of exploding confetti. That's the major label music business in a nutshell, if you want to know. But, it didn't work out. It wasn't anything like I thought it would be, and you've heard the story, and it's almost always true. And I spun down into depression, and we were already, street people living really hard, hand and mouth, as you said. And I did the only thing I knew how to do, you know, because I wasn't just living in New York City. You know, I played there seasonally. It gets awful cold in the winter. And if you're living outside, best thing to do is go south, which we would do, you know, and hitchhike, ride trains down through Asheville, North Carolina, play on the street downtown there a little bit, move on, you know, move on down into New Orleans. A lot of the people that I knew were mostly train hoppers, but I tried to hitchhike because it's faster, for sure, you know, and I was probably a little bit able, you know, I wasn't clean, but I was cleaner than a lot of them gutter punks, although a lot of them were my friends. But, you know, I would move around the country. And after that deal fell out, I went back out here to Pacific Northwest. I guess the south end of the Republic of Jefferson or whatever y'all call it.
The Emerald
State
Triangle.
Of Jefferson, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was down there in Mendocino County and Lake County. And it must have been 15 years ago, the first time I hitchhiked out there and was working on farms, doing work trade and all kinds of capacities, you know, the under the table stuff, the over the table stuff. And I played a lot of farm parties and I moved a lot of soil, you know, mm-hmm. worked on a lot of fence line.
Uh-huh.
I was never good at the tedious stuff, you know, but you know, I got broad shoulders, but, I waited out that contract that last time I come out here. It was like a 3-year deal that I waited out. And I decided that I would start recording myself. So I recorded a record called A Stolen Jewel in a farmhouse where I was working. Working there and in some places up on the mountain. And, you know, in the wintertime after harvest, that farmhouse kind of cleared out with the people leaving in the wintertime. And me and a friend of mine from Mendocino County, we made that record over the course of a month in the middle of the winter. And eventually I distributed that CD, you know, in shrink wrap. I got them printed, about 5,000 copies of it printed up down in San Francisco, and then drove those albums down to Texas, started working the street corners with that album in hand.
Just handing them out.
Yeah, handing them out. If you even looked at me, you got an album, you know. And I didn't care if people listened to it either, you know. I mean, it's not that I didn't care. I just wanted to get it in people's hands. And I'd learned that from the way we used to push the Train Robbers, which was a kind of a street group, you know, in New Orleans and New York and stuff before. You know, we used to hand anybody like a little
calling card.
Yeah, a little calling card, especially if you gave us a dollar, you know, or if you liked us or you asked for it. They didn't usually ask for it, but we'd flood those train cars with them. And I did that with CDs, and I'd learned that from, you know, hip-hop artists that were hustling out of the trunks of their cars down in the South when I was in high school in the Dallas area and stuff. And that one I just put out on my own, but then I kind of looked up how to, incorporate a business, which I'd never done before, really. And it was like $175 to pick a company name, you know. Online with like the state of Louisiana or whatever. And I called it Son of Davy. I'd met a guy when I was living overseas and playing on the street in Paris, France. He was this Australian artist, and we used to hang out at this bookstore, especially when it was cold and rainy, read all these old, you know, books and stuff and play music on the piano and the upstairs unit and all that. And he used to call me the Son of Davy, you know, because I am related to Davy Crockett. And so it stuck with me. I started a company under that name. And then, you know, actually I hadn't even done anything under that company. I put that first CD out through CD Baby. And then I was playing the bars really hard around Fort Worth, Dallas, Austin, New Orleans, moving between them a whole bunch, still playing on the street, but also playing in bars. And I had learned how to lead bands and play electrified with electric guitars and stuff, transition from acoustic by playing blues songs, playing with blues bands, open jam, circuit, blues jam, stuff like that. And an agent out of Nashville, I guess I was making enough noise that he heard about me. I think because I maybe handed a CD to an artist of his, or that was working on his circuit there, a guy named Evan Felker, the Turnpike Troubadours. And eventually he signed me. And after he signed me, I started working with this company out of Nashville called 30 Tigers. And their whole thing, especially a few years ago, was real appealing to me because it was, you know, we'll distribute your records and you'll own your music, you own your masters. And we're going to take a lower percent. The only trick is you're going to be on the hook yourself for everything, the marketing, the advertising, everything. Hmm. So the word of mouth and all that. So maybe in a way, a song and dance band that learned how to do this on street corners and hoboing, you know, I was a good candidate for that because I kind of knew how to push myself from a grassroots level. And anyway, short story long, like everyone I tell, I ended up, you know, releasing every one of those records in partnership with 30 Tigers over the last, I guess, 5-7 years. And that's how we got to 12 records as of a couple of weeks ago with the man from Waco, you know.
Interesting. Well, congratulations. They're all fantastic. It's so fun. And like I said, it's so you're a machine, man. Like every couple of months, we got a new Charlie Crockett we get to play in the rotation, and we celebrate that. And not only that, but just every single one seems to just blow the lid off what we were expecting from the last time. You're just like up in the clouds, man. It's really awesome to watch you grow and watch the production shift and change. And we're just always just elated to see something from you in the mail. So thank you. Keep up the good work. And I have to ask, what is your familial relation to Davy Crockett? Is it a cousin, an uncle? Or?
I always heard through my grandfather as an uncle, mm-hmm. actually. But, I mean, I think we're talking about 7 generations.
Neat.
You know?
Really neat. Well, it's really neat that you've got a famous drifter like that in your bloodline, and you yourself have a really neat path that you've been following. And we're sure happy that you drifted on up here to Oregon to be with us today and play a show tonight. And one thing that I really wanted to comment on, speaking of live shows, is just that there's this aesthetic to the Charlie Crockett experience. And if you could see through the radio, folks, he didn't disappoint. He's got his crispy hat. He's got his cool boots and the jeans and the press shirt and this really beautiful medallion you seem to wear a lot. Is there a story behind this? He's got excellent jewelry, usually lots of turquoise. What's the story behind the medallion?
Well, I take off all my rings when I'm playing in one of these quiet mics because it makes this weird jingle, you know. And I already play strange enough, you know. I don't want the rhythm to sound too off. No, but story about this necklace is that I'm really superstitious and I'm afraid to take it off. I believe it's the reason I'm still here.
Sure. Yeah. And your lady Taylor, it seems to have she's in the fashion industry. It seems she's got a really artistic taste, and maybe she has a vintage shop in Austin. Is that true? And is she part of your creative team? It seems like maybe that's a cool partnership you guys have creatively.
If anything, I'm part of her creative team. She's an artist, is what I'd call Taylor Grace, and you know, my best friend and somebody that really, really, you know, helps me navigate the world. And she's a great singer, and she's good with all of the artistic aesthetics, to use your word.
Beautiful. How lucky. Well, yeah, I've been thinking to myself that you, Leon Bridges, Abraham Alexander, you guys win the Best Dressed Men in Texas award, if I have anything to say about it.
I know those boys would love to hear that, and I don't disagree when it comes to Leon and Abraham, for sure. You know, we all used to play in backyards in Fort Worth, Texas, 10 years back.
How cool is that? Well, you guys are stunners on the stage. The music is just, I don't know how it does, but it gets better and better. And we're really stoked that you came to talk to us today. If there's another tune you could play us from the record, we'd love to hear it.
I'd love to do that, Danny. Thank y'all again. Thank you for having me. You know, I cannot tell you how much I love Ashland. How much I love Southern Oregon. This country has just always been good on me. My mama was born in Denver and partially raised in Northern California. And the way she talked about it when I was a kiddo in Texas, you know, it sounded like Big Rock Candy Mountain to me, you know, where cigarettes grow on trees and the police got wooden legs. It's halfway true. It's true if you think about it. Here's a little number I done wrote and put on this latest effort of mine. This one's called Name on a Billboard, and every word's true. I'm going to L.A., gonna take a ride. Ain't got much to lose, not even my pride. Think I'll buy some things I can't afford. They look, my name's on a billboard. Hello, son.
We're sure glad that you're here. Come on in. Things are not as they appear. Sit right down while we show you how it's done. We're gonna make you number one. I'm going to L.A. Gonna take a ride. Ain't got much to lose, not even my pride. Ain't got to buy some things I can't afford. Hey, look, my name's on a billboard. Hey, look, my name's up in lights. Somehow I still don't feel right. I'm always trying to even up the score. Hey, look, my name's on a billboard. Thank you, sir. I'd like to thank you very much. Wish I could stay around for your free lunch. I got to go, and I hope you understand that I'm not that kind of man. I'm going to L.A., gonna take a ride. Ain't got much to lose, not even my pride. Think I'll buy some things I can't afford. Hey, look, my name's on the billboard. Hey, look, my name's up in lights. Somehow I still don't feel right. I'm always trying to even up the score. Hey, look, my name's on a billboard. I'm going to L.A., gonna take a ride. Ain't got much to lose, not even my pride.
Charlie Crockett, live from the Steve Nelson Performing Studio here at Jefferson Public Radio. His new record, The Man from Waco, is out now. Find out more information for him about him at charliecrockett.com. That's E-Y, it's two T's. And this session and some photos will be available later on our website at ijpr.org. And you can also hear all our live sessions at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Big thank you to John Griffin for engineering this session. Laura Brandon Lindsay for engineering as well. Thanks to Jonathan for getting Charlie here to us today. Charlie, thank you so much for coming in, having a talk with us, telling us some stories. Hope you have a great show tonight, the rest of your tour. Stay out of trouble if you can and want to, and please come back soon.
Oh, yeah. You better believe it. Thank y'all so much. Next time I'll be twice as good.
See you then. Open Air will continue right after this.